All right, welcome everybody to another Tuesday weekly REI Vault team huddle call. Today is Tuesday, December 1st, 2015, and we welcome you to today's call. It's an opportunity to ask questions. They can be technical in nature, or they can be regarding real estate deals. So we have an open forum, and the way this works, for those that are new, you can press R5. Chris, you may need to mute because there's a lot of background noise on your end.
Okay, sorry about that.
Nice. You can press *5, and that will notify us that you are raising your hand, and we can bring you into the call. And that would be great. I see Justin was rearing up to probably give me some feedback on our discussion a few minutes ago on homeopathic medicine. Anyway, welcome. And Chris is a little under the weather, so probably this may be a shorter call today. Chris, do you have any updates you want to share before we get started?
No, I don't have any updates outside of just my raspy voice, which, although it may seem like it's sexier, it's very it's not really good for talking. So I'm trying to keep it light so I don't lose my voice completely, but it's been going downhill since yesterday.
Awesome. Well, I'll share one little update. It's kind of interesting. I don't want to jinx this deal. Chris, you got a lot of background noise, buddy.
Sorry.
So, I don't want to jinx the deal. We do not have this under contract yet. We should by probably the end of today or tomorrow. But we're working on a deal in Colorado. Chris and I launched a couple of areas in Colorado and have picked up a handful of deals. But one of them is a seller that has actually has three properties. He has a house that he's owned for a long time. His kids are living there rent-free. He's older, and he does have a mortgage on the property. And then he has two parcels that are next door, and they're zoned industrial, but they look like one of the properties actually is zoned agricultural, but it should be rezoned. And the properties are worth, let's see, his primary property is worth about it'd be a really easy flip for about $330,000 to $350,000. And then he's got two parcels that in a quick sale are worth about $175,000 each. And if we can get one of them rezoned, probably more than that, seller owes $250,000, and he really wanted to get $50,000 out. So we've been working on it. Normally it would be an all-cash deal, but we have pretty much had agreement with the seller where we're going to actually pick this up from the seller. We're going to pick it up for $315,000, but he is not going to get paid his $50,000 in profit until after we resell the properties. And in exchange, we are going to cover the mortgage for a couple of months. So his kids are going to get out. As part of the deal, they're going to be out within 60 days. And then we're going to pick up a couple of the mortgage payments. And in exchange, we're going to do this deal and structure it where we'll pick up the properties, and then we're going to resell them. We may put a little bit of money into just the cleanup of the primary residence. Or the residence that they have. And so we should be able to make a couple $100,000 easily with probably very little money out of our pocket. So working on that deal, that's actually a property, the way we're structuring it, for those of you that have not done anything other than all cash, we're going to pick up the property subject to the existing mortgage. There's an existing mortgage, and there's some liens, some small tax liens on the property. And then in the agreement, we'll actually end up giving him his cash once we effectively resell the property. The way I'm going to structure it is resell or, you know, within 3 years, within 36 months, and then I'll have a couple of options to extend. in exchange for making those payments. So we'll actually buy, there'll be a contract that will get signed, and then we'll actually take title via trust. So I'll create a trust, land trust. We'll move the property into a trust so that we can actually control it and make a couple of payments, maybe put 10 grand into the cleanup, and then resell. At the same time, we're going to work on getting zoned. So it's probably a 120-day deal, and conservatively, we'll probably end up with about $250,000. And if all goes well, probably north of that. So pretty excited about the super. It's our sales acquisition manager in Colorado. She's awesome, and she's really, really good at building rapport with these sellers. And the guy's pretty excited. So I'll keep you guys posted. In fact, I see Aaron. Actually, I'm going to bring Aaron. Aaron, I'm going to bring you.
I had a question for you, Gary, on that. What would be the differential? So say, like, you're structuring that deal in a creative way. So let's say that that deal, instead of being structured, that was structured just in your typical wholesale, try to buy cheap, etc. What's the difference? In other words, by you doing that, how much more money do you think you're getting out of the deal versus just if it was just
probably $100,000, at least $100,000, Chris. So okay. If we were to come in with an all cash deal, we would have to find a buyer quickly that can close. Now on this deal, talking with Aaron, I'm going to bring you into the call here. Unless you got bad news for me. So then if you have bad news, you just can't say anything. I'm just kidding. But if we were to do a quick flip on this, Chris, we would be looking for an all-cash buyer. So talking with Aaron, we may need to find a conventional buyer for the lot that may come in with some conventional financing of some sort. Or construction funding. So it would be very difficult to try to do an all-cash deal and turn this thing in a couple of weeks or a month. So it would probably cost us at least $100,000 of profit, right? So just knowing how to structure a deal like that. So what the reason – so first off, there's the contract, right, and coming to an agreement on terms with the seller where he'd be willing to wait, you know, a few months to get his $50,000 out of it. The contract's going to change. Instead of being a one-page contract, it'll end up being about three pages. And then we'll transfer title into a trust. And the reason that we're going to transfer title into a trust is, A, we get to control the property. And then number two is when we actually turn around and sell it, we can sell it to anybody. So we can get conventional financing because it's going to look like it was a transfer, and it will be a transfer for estate purposes, estate planning purposes, which happens all the time, right? People, older people put their properties into an estate plan, and that's not recorded. The only thing that's recorded is the property transfers from, you know, John Smith to, you know, XYZ, trustee of the John Smith Trust. And once you learn how to do that, it's pretty simple. And there's no real cost, you know, transferring title, what we'll end up doing. And I'll shepherd this with Aaron, but we'll put this thing through a title company for them to actually do an accommodation recording. So they'll record the deed for us as an accommodation. That's what they call it. And then we'll actually, when we resell the property, we'll have them do the title. And since they're recording the deed in an accommodation, they may charge, you know, it might be $50. We may ask them to do a title insurance policy for just the recording of the deed. But that's all pretty standard stuff. So you do a couple of these, it's pretty simple. The hardest part is structuring and just making sure that the seller is comfortable. Aaron, I'm going to bring you in. Hold on, Chris. Aaron, are you there?
Hi, how are you?
Good. Sorry to put you on the spot, but we're just talking about this interesting deal that you got going in Colorado. Any news from the seller?
No, not today. He's just waiting on us. I did speak with him last night, I think I mentioned to you, and he's open to the restructuring and just waiting on us to put something in writing for him.
Awesome. So he basically agreed that he'd be willing to do it, and you know, understand. Did he like the idea that I recommended where we would actually pick up a few payments in exchange for him getting the $50,000 in a few months.
Yep, he's okay with that. And, you know, just I got in the conversation a little bit late, so I'm not sure if you shared this part yet. But, you know, just in continuously assessing the seller's situation, you know, we learned that, you know, his children live there. They don't help him. He's putting out about that $1,700 a month for his mortgage payment. He does seem to need some relief. It's current. But another little piece that, Gary, I don't know if you and I talked about yet, but he is going to help his children move out of the property, and he needed about $3,000 to do that. So he's asking if we can shave $3,000 off of the purchase price, give him that up front just so he can get his children out of there. So that might be a little piece that we add in if it's something that you think is that something that we can do. And I don't know that you've talked about that yet, but I should just bring it up just for the conversation.
Personally, I'd be all over that. I think that's an absolutely wonderful idea. And the way that we would do that is we would actually give them the $3,000, upon them moving out. That would be kind of a cash for keys scenario. So what we would do is as soon as they're ready, in fact, if they wanted some help with a mover, as an example, then we could pay the moving company directly. So we don't want to put any money to the kids, especially if they're kind of deadbeat kids. You know, they're living there rent-free and taking advantage of dad. But what we would do is we'd actually pay for the moving company, because that means that we pay the moving company once they come and they're moving stuff out. And we would get an agreement from the kids that they would basically be signing that they're no longer living in the house, and then they would get a cashier's check or, you know, a brown bag full of $100 bills. That would be totally fine. I would do that. Usually I would exchange the $3,000. You know, he wanted to know if we could reduce the purchase or the amount that we would owe him by $3,000. Normally I would say that we'd try to get something in exchange for that, or maybe we, instead of us picking it up for $315, that's the number, right? $315?
Right, we're at $315.
So normally I'd say, you know, let's exchange the $3,000 up front for something like, you know, $5,000 or $7,000 discount, but since there's so much upside on this deal, I would say that let's do that, because the sooner we can get the property vacated, the sooner we're going to put the money in our pocket, right?
Yeah, right. And it's, the timing is good because we'll be right at the spring market. So I think that the sooner we do vacate them, the better. And easier, the more we help them, the better. So.
Yep, for sure. And we'll put some structure around the payments, because the one negative on doing a deal like this, right, or, you know, a quick wholesale deal is you're just like, you don't have a lot of money out of pocket. So in a deal like this, you're going to have $3,000 and then $1,700 a month. Well, that could go on forever, right? And so what I will end up doing is I'll put some fine print in the contract that gives us the ability to, you know, exit out of the deal or limit our losses. And so, that's why when you and I chatted on this yesterday, I said make sure that we get a really good understanding of the resale price. The other thing, Chris, actually for everybody, but bringing you up to speed on this, Chris, what we may do is sell the house first and unload the house, because we should be able to get out of the house. We won't make any profit on the house, but we could pay off the mortgage. The mortgage is $250,000. So let's say we get out of the house. Now we got the lots, right? So now we have two free and clear lots. We could sell the house, do a quick sell on that. You know, maybe even we may want to come in and do a little cleanup, Aaron, just to get it.
Right.
So, you know, we can sell it, put some paint on the pig, and move on. But we could sell that property, pay off the existing encumbrances, right? Now we have the $50,000 that we owe the seller, but we're sitting on free and clear properties. So we're outside of any debt. And then as soon as we get those properties sold, you know, we get him exited out. So anyway, I'll draft up the contracts, and you know, the clock is ticking. So if he said yes, then let's get some stuff, some paperwork in front of him. And what I would end up doing on a deal like this is I will probably want to review, and you and I can talk about this offline, of course, Aaron, but I would probably send out a notary public to go. He's in Arizona, so we'd go out with a notary public. We'd have a call with the notary public in advance, okay, have them go out and do all the signing of the paperwork all at once. So what that would look like is a professional person comes out, you know, just like a title company, and they sit down and they have them sign the purchase agreement. And so that's going to be a 3 or 4 page document. We would create a trust. So there's going to actually be a handful of documents that go along with creating a trust, probably a total of about 15 pages and some instructions. And he'll notarize those. We call him up and just say, hey, we're going to send out Martha. She's going to show up at 2 o'clock tomorrow. We'll sign the documents and everything is going to be great. And then we'll be on standby with the notary if any questions come up. Make sense?
Yep. And can I follow up on the gentleman's question? I'm not sure who asked it about why go this route instead of just a typical wholesale.
Yeah, that would be Chico.
Oh, yeah, hi, Chris.
Yeah.
Hey, how are you?
Good. I think maybe Gary did answer, but in talking with and just sort of analyzing the Fort, this is in Fort Collins, because the three parcels are zoned 2 industrial and 1 farming, it just wasn't an obvious fix and flip deal with, you know, rehabbers. And just looking at buyer demand in Fort Collins, it could, these three parcels could be could be wide open as far as the ultimate buyer. So we could market it in several different ways if we went ahead and listed it on the open market. And I think Gary mentioned potentially get more money that way. So if they were zoned differently, it would be a lot simpler to find a builder who could pick up these parcels, a developer, because there's multi-family units right across the street. But it's zoned this way. And so I'm working with the city right now to find out, I mean, it's literally on the edge, right outside the city limits. And so likely in the next couple of years, these three parcels are going to be brought into the city limits. And they already have a plan for that area. So potentially could get it rezoned so that a developer could come and put multiple units on there, but it's just not there at this point. So does that answer your question a little bit? Or I could go on and on, but I don't want to bore you.
No, it makes sense what you said. I mean, you have intimate knowledge also of that market as well, so that helps. You know what I mean? Because you know that area. And it's, you know, taking the deal farther, longer. Like, in other words, you know, it's the money now versus, hey, if you waited, we wait just a little bit on every deal, then you can always make more money. And I think the bridge to making that happen on this deal is a creative financing that would allow us to take the deal further along and to find somebody who's going to pay, you know, to squeeze more lemon, I guess, more lemon juice out of the lemon.
Yeah, and I honestly don't think I could, I'm not sure that I could find a wholesale buyer in 30 days. You know, I just don't know that, you know, so I know we can figure something out in the next 60 to 90 for sure.
Right.
See, the crux of this thing really came down to the fact that he was really focused on a purchase price of $315, right?
Mm-hmm.
He owes $250. He wants to come out of the, he wants to basically walk away with $50, got some tax liens on it, and it's not a wholesale deal. So the only way that this thing works is if we're able to pick up the parcels. And the parcels, if you weren't able to do the rezoning on these, Aaron, what do you think? What do you think these could move for? You know, quickly.
So
if we sold them as is, the parcels, the vacant lot, just quick sale. What do you think we could get?
Yeah, quick. I mean, the value. The vacant lots are probably worth one. 60 to 175 each, but I would say, you know, 140 for a quick sale.
Okay, so 90 grand. Let's just say we unload them, like, really fast. Okay, let's drop it down to 80.
Sure.
Right? So, you know, any way you skin the cat, you make money. But to me, I would rather put a little bit of money out, right? And you know, let's just say our out of pocket on this is $15,000. Worst case scenario, let's say 20, or let's say 25. So if I could go, let's say 80,000 each, that's 160. But if I could spend 3 or 4 months, and I could turn that 160 into 350 or 400, I'd do that in a heartbeat, right? Now, some people would just take the money down if you didn't have the cash, but we could also get somebody to come in and finance that for 12% interest or a small piece of the action in a heartbeat, right? Let's say we got somebody to put up 25 or somebody, I'm going to put up the money, but let's just say somebody had to come in and fund 25 grand and let's say they could double their money. So they put up the 25 grand, you know, to cover the carrying costs, maybe even some cleanup, and you know, they were able to get, you know, I would structure that as a loan so they could actually, you know, come in with a loan of 25 grand and they could get 10% interest with a contingent interest rate up to doubling their money is the way I'd structure that, which is a second piece of paper. I won't get into the details, but it would just be an addendum that said, you know, you can get 10% guaranteed as an interest rate due and payable upon resale of the property. You know, plus a contingent interest rate, which is another final payment up to doubling their money, which would be, you know, we could have that funded in an afternoon. So that's how I would structure it. I'm going to bring Aaron. Any other interesting points on this? We'll get some paperwork prepared. I know you and I chatted yesterday, but we can get some paperwork prepared and get this sort of heading down a path pretty quickly.
Yeah, sounds good.
So, cool. I'm going to put you on hold, Aaron, and I've got Justin here with his hand up. If anybody has a question, you can go ahead and press *5, and we'll put you into the queue and bring you into the call. Justin, you're live. What's up, Justin?
Hey, guys. So I got two things, and none of them relate to homeopathic remedies. So I got a list question and then a seller question. So I'm going to go with my list question first. So, Gary, I don't know if you remember, but like about 3 or 4 weeks ago, we purchased our own list of tax delinquent properties. So in California, your property goes to auction after 3 years of delinquent property taxes. So we purchased a list of everybody who's 2+ years delinquent on their taxes. And what we did was it was right around 5,000 names, so just call it 5,000 names. We chopped the list in half, and half of the list we sent to a free record, what I'll call the standard REI Vault free recorded message. The other half of the list we drove to Pat Live. I don't have the exact stats, but I put a request into the deal dashboard to get those stats. But from just my gut and knowing what I know, it would seem like we're generating more leads from the free recorded message than the live operator.
What postcard? What would we mail?
Well, the free recorded message is we mailed our typical
third
Chico.
Notice?
Yeah, third notice, yeah.
Blind copy, okay.
Yeah, blind copy. And so I believe that they're both in a 5-campaign sequence. I believe that postcard number 3 just dropped this week for each half of the list. I'm wondering what your thoughts are on flip-flopping for the last 2 and pivoting and sending the people who have received live operator the blind copy for postcard 4 and 5 and doing the opposite for the other half of the list?
Depending upon what we're mailing, I can look real quick. But I like that idea. So I think that's a very simple thing. That's a 3-minute change for the member services support team. But I like that idea. So what you're doing is you're saying, so everybody that got the blind copy,
they've seen now three blind copy postcards. Maybe they would respond now to something that was more, hey, call and talk to a live human.
Yeah.
And vice versa. If what we're noticing on this is that we're getting more calls the further we go into the sequence, and I'm guessing that's because if you're delinquent on your taxes, you're probably more of a bury your head in the sand kind of a person.
Mm-hmm.
And property taxes are due. In San Diego County here, they're due December 1st and considered late December 31st.
Yeah.
So.
For sure.
You like the idea. Why not?
I do. Chico,
okay.
Do you have any thoughts on that?
No, I do like the idea as well.
Okay. All right. Well, I can do that through the support ticket then and tell them to flip-flop that. My seller question.
Hey, one little note. Be real clear on swapping the postcard and changing up. I know you'll do this, but be real clear on the swapping of the Pat Live from a pre-recorded to Pat Live.
Yeah, I think I'll just go back and reopen the original ticket so that it's crystal clear with everyone.
Yeah. Yep, and maybe ask them for an updated campaign plan. They'll most likely do that anyway, but
okay.
Make sure it's all perfect. They don't do that often, but I like that idea.
Okay. So my seller issue, had a deal with a seller. He wanted $67,500, tried to do the whole renegotiate thing. That went sideways. Told him I can still make the deal work at $67,500. He said, great. Been working with my escrow company. Now, just so you know, this seller, he owns a cell phone. He doesn't live in the property. He lives about 2 hours away from the property. It took him forever to get us the original purchase and sale back. The purchase and sale has since expired, the date on it. He was in touch with the escrow officer, and this was all sort of end of October, beginning of November. I found a buyer. Buyer's already sent their deposit into my escrow company. And my seller has now dropped off the face of the earth. Won't return phone calls to me, won't return phone calls to the escrow company. And I got a buyer sitting here with his cash in hand ready to go saying, you know, what's going on? And my fear is that my buyer is going to pull the plug on this and just say, forget it. I can't email the guy, and I've left him a number of voicemails. I've got an idea on what I'm going to do, but I'm wondering what your guys' thoughts are on what I should do. He lives in Washington State.
How far from Vancouver?
About 2.5-hour drive.
You know my answer, brother. How much is the deal worth?
16.
I would, And you know his address and where he lives?
Well, here's the tricky thing, right, was that so he gave me an address for where he wanted to mail the stuff to, when I say the stuff, the original purchase and sale. And then when I mailed it to him, I followed up with a call, and he said, well, I haven't gone and checked the mail yet. And I said, oh, well, you gave me this address. And he goes, well, yeah, that's where I wanted it mailed, but I don't live there.
Okay.
So I've got an address for him. But, I mean, this guy, he's always telling me about how he works shift work. It's very rare that he answers the phone. But in the beginning of the process, he kept calling me back. And so...
Similar to what we said last week for Art on a deal where the seller went sideways, I would not leave any negative voicemails. I would basically say, hey, I got great news, very positive. We're all ready to close. Money is actually sitting in escrow to close this thing. We just need to know when we can schedule for final documents to get signed or whatever it is. And just wanted to know the best time and place. Don't leave too many voicemails or anything urgent.
Well, I haven't left him a voicemail now since before Thanksgiving. So, you know, but yeah, I mean, that was my thought, was to leave him a voicemail along the lines of, you know, hey, do you or do you not still want to do this?
No, if you, I wouldn't do that.
Okay.
That's negative. That's negative.
Okay.
Don't give him an out clause. Go with the approach of everything. It's forward pacing. So assume everything is perfect, and you're ready to giving him an update, and you have one, you know, just a quick question, and you just have one quick question for him, and have it something, but make it super friendly. Do not put a negative voicemail with any assumption that because you don't assume anything. Don't assume he could be, you know, he could have.
Well, all my messages up to this point have been, I just want to make sure everything is okay. I haven't heard back from you.
Yeah. Chris, do you have
so, and I've had the escrow officer leave him at least two voicemails as well under the thing of like, hey, we're ready to close. The problem is that because this ding-dong doesn't have email, they need to get the escrow package back from him to even draw the closing docs. But we had it all set up with a mobile notary and the whole nine yards, so.
How old is the seller, would you say? How old do you think he is?
If I had to guess, I don't know, maybe in his 40s or 50s, if I was guessing.
Okay.
Although I don't know how a guy in his 40s doesn't have email, but.
Yeah.
We could piggyback on. Can you guys hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We could piggyback on the concept of the third notice card and say, Mr. Seller, we're just getting ready to transfer title on the property. We need to clear up a couple items. Like, in other words, you infer that, hey, it's happening with or without you. You know, that I would do that, you know, initially, but if you can't get anything, I mean, I think that would be outside of saying, hey, you better call me because otherwise you're going to have trouble. You kind of infer that, hey, it's happening, and then he has to call you to stop it. You know, you may get his feathers ruffled a bit, but if you tried all the other avenues, you still can't get anywhere. That's just a thought. I don't know what you think, Gary.
I mean, you don't want the buyer to go sideways, but the buyer's probably more than happy to pick up the property at whatever discounted price they're getting. I just tell them, hey, you know, you're trying to coordinate with the seller, so keep the buyer at bay, and you're trying to coordinate with the seller. You kind of think that he's still kind of on holiday with family, and as soon as you kind of connect with him, you'll give the buyer an update. So then with the seller, I wouldn't leave too many messages. You know, maybe the next, you could do that. You could basically say, hey, everything's ready to close. They're closing. You know, do what Chris says. But I just wouldn't leave any kind of harassing. Don't give any reason for him to feel, like, comfortable. You want him, if he's going to back out, right, you want to flush him out. But you don't want to give him any reason to back out, right? And if you give harassing messages or anything that's angry or what have you, then he's going to say, Justin's a jerk. I wouldn't want to do business with this guy anyway. You know what I mean? You want to make it,
right.
You want to go overboard on friendliness and hospitality, whatever you can do, right?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, I'm just looking. The last time I tried to call him was the 23rd.
Okay. Yeah. So he's due for a call. I would do what Chris said. I would call him and say, hey, this thing is closing, and I had just had one final question for you. Maybe you don't even mention the paperwork. Just go with the assumption that it's closing, and if he is going to try to back out, then there'll be a reason why he'll call you saying, no, we can't close. You know, we're not going to go do this deal.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay.
I think Aaron, I'm going to bring Aaron in. I'm not sure if she's got something for this or not. Aaron, are you there?
Hi.
Hey.
No, not necessarily
separate.
For this one. Hello?
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, not necessarily for this one. I just thought of one last thing to share with regards to the deal we were talking about.
Okay, Aaron, hold real quick. Just give us a second. I want to make sure that I close the loop on Justin. Just hold.
Okay.
Justin, did that give you what you needed, at least for now?
Yeah. Hopefully I have a positive update for you. So worst case, he lives down by Seattle. Worst case, I'm going down to Seattle the weekend of December 20th. I mean, I guess at what point do I jump in the car and just stormtrooper and show up at this random address the guy gave me? Now, wait a week or two.
A week.
All right.
You know, maybe one or two more messages between now and over the next couple of days. And definitely not more than one voicemail every other day at the most.
Okay.
And his voicemail hasn't filled up. Check public record and check newspaper to see if something tragic hasn't happened to him. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah. Okay. I'll keep you guys posted as to what happened.
And then I'm sure Chris has a special, like, letter of a prize to come claim your prize. You just won $100 million. Come to this location at this time to claim your winnings. And be there with the notary. No, just kidding. No. All right. I'll put you back on hold, Justin. All right. Sorry, Aaron. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. So just one other note about this deal. Just another way that we should be able to make some money off of this, too, is when we do have the real estate broker just get, we will take a referral from it as well. So probably another $5,000 from referral.
That's awesome. That's cool. Yeah, let's get that one under contract. I know that now it's on my court to draw up docs, which we'll have done in short order. So. Cool. Anybody has a question, go ahead and press *5. And if we don't have any more questions, then we will end the call today. So *5 on your phone if you have a question for Chris or myself or somebody else in the group. Like there's any more questions. You have a couple more seconds. *5 if you have a question. Not. All right. Looks like that's a wrap. All right, everybody. Have a great week. And Justin, I will have some prayers for you for good momentum on your deal. And I also see Art. Thanks, Art. I got your email and I will be working on that as well. I'm actually going to have Chris help me on a cover letter to the seller as well, so we can kind of tease up what you provided me, Art, is perfect. I appreciate that. All right. Have a great day, everybody, and we will talk to you next week. Take care.